thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. It's just me, Wally, Will T. Ray are out. It's going to be a big show, folks. A big show. Well, supposed to be a big show. We have cornerback Fred Smoot, who's scheduled to be on the show. So hopefully he calls in, you know, because, you know, like he's been on the show before, friend of the show. Fred Smoot brings the energy. So waiting on this call. But obviously we have a lot going on. The Washington Reds. And when Fred Smoot gets on, he's going to talk about the Redskins draft. It's gonna be a big draft. It was a big draft for the Washington Redskins. They got Payne, gonna team him up with Jonathan Allen. So we'll talk about that. Obviously the NBA playoffs. What's going on in the NHL with the Washington Capitals being up 2-1. We have guests, but like Will T would normally say, hey Will T, how easy
Let's
do
get
things?
Into our tradition of pregame.
All right. Here are our topics. We will have, like I said, we're supposed to have, he's scheduled, former Washington Redskins cornerback Fred Smoot on the show to talk about the Redskins draft. At 7:50, we'll talk about the rest of the NFL draft. At 8 o'clock, we'll have Truth About It's Troy Halliburton to talk about John Wall's comments about the Washington Wizards roster. Troy covers the Washington Wizards. At 8:10, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. Finally, at 8:20, we'll have WNST's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic to talk about the Caps Penguins series. Right now, the Caps and Penguins are tied at 0. But before, before Fred gets on, comes up, calls in, and gets on the line, the Redskins draft. They drafted Payne, D tackle out of Alabama. With the 13th pick, I myself was more for taking Tremaine Edmonds if he was down. He was available. Tremaine Edmonds is out of Virginia Tech. I was in favor of drafting him. I also was in favor of drafting Payne. I did want Payne at the same time, but I would have preferred the Washington Redskins to trade back to get Payne. I think they could have had, you know, could have added picks to the, you know, for their, you know, picks within the third, fourth or whatever round, or third or fourth. I don't think they would get a second to move back. But third or the fourth, and they could have still had probably got Payne within, you know, the 20th, 25th pick if desired. I think getting a guy like Tremaine Edmonds in that slot is a play that you got to take advantage of. I think that's a play you definitely have to take advantage of. Also with the second pick, I mean, so the second, their second round pick, trading back. They were the 44th pick. They trade with the 49ers and trade back to the 59th pick. And they got Geis out of LSU, Darius Geis out of LSU. I think that was a big draft pick. Now you have a running back, in my opinion, that you can start and be your first, second down running back and be effective. If you look at what they had to deal with with P. Ryan and Rob Kelly, Fat Rob, those guys, they played hard, but at the end of the day, you need a guy that you can rely on to be that guy to get you that tough yards. Too many times it was 31 that the Washington Redskins were unable to get, you know, that first down, and it could be the closest 1 yard in the world, and it still was a struggle. Now, granted, you can say that they had issues with their tight ends in terms of blocking, but at the same time, you want that dog, you want that alpha dog at the backfield, and this team didn't have that. Had to have that player in their backfield last year. So hopefully having Geis will probably change things for them next season. Obviously having Alex Smith, you have Geis. Now you have, and hopefully Jordan Reed's healthy. Now you have great weapons. You have good weapons. Excuse me. I can't use great. Good weapons on the offensive side of the football. You saw the Redskins also make a move in the fourth round, where they got Tim Settle out of Virginia Tech, nose tackle. I think that was a steal. I think getting Settle out of from Virginia Tech was one of the biggest play in the draft, biggest plays in the draft. You're looking at a guy who's a true nose tackle. You can team him up with Payne, Ioannidis, Jonathan Allen. You're bringing back Phil Taylor. That is a formidable D line. And then obviously, you know, the outside linebackers in the 3-4, we're talking about Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith, having those guys as your outside linebackers. So, and then you see how stout they are interior within the interior, potentially, right? Because we're talking about potential when it comes to the NFL draft. Those young kids can hopefully push the pocket and make it easy for the outside linebackers like Preston Smith and Ryan Kerrigan to put pressure on the quarterback. Then you're looking at what they brought some versatility with the tackle position with a kid out of Louisville, and you're looking at a guy who plays a swing position in terms of out the tackle position. He can play the right and left. You saw what happened with Trent Williams, and also Morgan Moses, who was a soldier last year. You're looking at a guy who Morgan Moses who played on a bum ankle and consistently toughened it out. Now you'll have a guy from with Christian from Louisville to give just in case that happens. What happened last year with the injuries? You got a guy Christian who can spell a Trent Williams or Morgan Moses, and also it gives flexibility to move Ty and Seki if they want to move him to guard, knowing that you have this young kid and Christian to back up Trent Williams or Morgan Moses. And it's also not a guarantee too that this kid will be ready to play, but I'm just saying now you have that backup if trained correctly by Callahan. You have the opportunity to have a kid that has the potential to be a guy that, you know what, down the road, and I feel like the Redskins organization feels like this kid down the road could be a starter. Down the road, this kid can be a guy that, you know, can help out with some jumbo packages or whatnot for the Washington Redskins. Again, I was a fan of the draft. I really did like the draft. I was a big fan of it. I thought the Redskins made some big moves. I mean, for me, I can't speak for everybody else, but for me, in the beginning of the draft, I wasn't a fan of what was going on with Payne. But as soon as they got the trade for Geis, they got Settle. I think when they got Geis and Settle, I was ecstatic as a guy who has followed this team for a while and been a big fan of this team for a while. Like, once they got those two, I was like, okay, now we're talking. Now we're doing something. Now this team is doing something. With Payne, again, I like Payne. You know, my preference was Vita Vea. That was my preference. I think that was a lot of people's preference. But Tampa traded up at the 12th slot to get Vita Vea. And I, you know, once that happened, my opinion is that the Redskins wanted, you know, the Redskins was desperately trying to say, okay, we got to get one of these guys. We got to get Payne. But all reports say that they favored Payne over Vita Vea. But we'll see. But again, for me, I wasn't a fan of getting Payne initially, but it all changed up once they got Tim Settle for me. Like, once they got Tim Settle, I was like, okay, now this team has Payne, Settle. I was like, okay, you team that up with Jonathan Allen, Ioannidis. It's like, okay, this defensive front can cause some damage and cause some problems. But how I looked at it I always had this argument with folks on Twitter or Facebook, is that Tremaine Edmonds was on the board. And if you've seen what this Redskins defense did with a healthy Jonathan Allen, a healthy Matt Ioannidis, they were in the top 10 to stop in the run. You add Tremaine Edmonds to the fray. Another inside linebacker with that type of speed, like a Zach Brown, a guy who can, not as fast as Zach Brown, but was very fast, was probably one of the faster inside linebackers in the NFL. Team him up with Zach Brown, and has the potential to be a guy who can cover tight ends and running backs out the backfield. Yeah, I'm taking that kid. Like, I feel like I have to take that kid. That kid has too much potential not to draft. And so far, it looks like Fred may not be calling in. Sorry, I disappointed you. Sorry if you listen to the show. If he doesn't call in, I apologize. We had him scheduled. We had Fred's scheduled, and I apologize. But if this team, like how I looked at it, if they got Tremaine Edmonds, like with that, I feel like this team could have been something special. But again, having Payne, getting Payne is not something to say, okay, I'm disappointed, because Payne, the potential with Payne, Jonathan Allen, Ioannidis, you know, having those individuals on, and like I said, Tim Settle coming, you know, coming in with a rotation, and Phil Taylor, you have an opportunity to do something that this Redskins team hasn't done in a while. I've always felt like winning football teams in general, they win in the trenches, offensive line, defensive line. If you have the big uglies out there like you, that's what it's about. You win in the trenches. That's how you win Super Bowls. That's how you win championships. The Philadelphia Eagles had a good offensive line and a good defensive line. All right. I don't like to use New England Patriots because they have Tom Brady. Tom Brady just wins games. That's what Tom Brady does. So when people use that to say they bring out Tom Brady, I'm like, well, Tom Brady is a different beast. Tom Brady is like Michael Vick on Madden when Michael Vick first came to the league. It wasn't fair. Like, that's what Tom Brady is. You can't use Tom Brady and the Patriots as an example. But when you look at other NFL teams historically who won Super Bowls and won championships, look at what they've done up front. The Denver Broncos, look at that defense. That defensive line up front. Look at the offensive line. Look at the Seattle Seahawks. Defensive front. Offensive line. You know, so if you look at what championship teams, you know, how you make a championship team, you build up the big uglies. You build up the offensive line. You build up the defensive line. And I think finally the Washington Redskins right now, defensively speaking, they're building up that defensive line. When was the last time you could say, other than last year's draft, when you could say this team really took the defensive line seriously? Like, really, they're gonna bring in a nose tackle or a big guy in the earlier rounds who has potential to help this team? You can't say they've done that in the past. I mean, over the last some odd years. No, recently they started doing it. And I feel like now you're going to see a team that's built the right way. Like, we'll see what many Redskins fans saw in the early 90s, where when I grew up watching this team, when I was watching the Hogs under Jim Lachey, you saw Bostic, Raleigh McKenzie, guys like that. Back in the day when I was watching the Washington Redskins, the Hogs were nasty. Right, they were nasty defensive. I'm talking about the offensive line. Now look at the defensive line. I'm speaking of on the defensive line. You had Charles Mann. You had Charles Mann, Stokes, Johnson. I mean, you had a team on the defensive line that was nasty. Wilbur Marshall as a linebacker. You had a Kirk Govea as a linebacker. You had an Andre Collins. You had a monster team defensively. You build your team when you're front seven defensively. You build your team on the offensive line. You start there. And once you build that up, man, you got a championship squad. You have a championship squad. So I like what the Redskins did in this draft. Hopefully they continue the process. They continue the theme of building their team within the draft, within the big uglies. If they can do that, I feel like this team can win eventually, sooner than later, to be honest with you, compete to win the NFC East and get to the Super Bowl. I really believe it, because you have this mindset. If your mindset is to build this team on grit and toughness, you have a better opportunity to be successful, because nobody likes the bully on the block. The bully on the block owns that block. All right, you got to punch the bully in them. You got to punch the bully in the mouth. But it's time for the Redskins to be the bullies on the block. Like it used to be in the NFC East, they were the bullies on the block back in the day. It's time to bring that thought process, that idea, that ideology back. And I feel like if it's Doug Williams, if it's Bruce Allen, if it's a joint team effort in terms of the front office, finally that message is coming across. But it's time for a break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about the rest of the NFL draft. You listen to the Urban Sports saying for Aegis, you dig? Doses.
Wondering if after all these years you like me to go over.
Listening to the urban sports scene. I'm Wally. Will T Rare out. Will T got turf toe, man. I'm trying to figure that out. Like, turf toe. Like, really? Turf toe. He's not even an athlete, though. I'm trying to figure out, like, why? Like, why? If Fred was on the show, I was going to ask him that question. I was going to ask him, like, how does one get turf toe without really playing the sport? I'm like, that to me is amazing to me. It's real talking. We listen to urban sports scene again. I'm Wally. Will T. Ray are out. Make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.garbagetime.com. I also had this other question, too. And vibe with me, people. Vibe with me real quick. Obviously, you heard, you know, with Kanye West, you talk about slavery. Like, you know, you had a choice in the matter or whatever. You like, you accept slavery or whatever, but whatnot on, and, on TMZ and then basically the dude on TMC went ham on him. But like, I'm in a dilemma. Like, should I not listen to Kanye West music anymore? Like, at all? Like, I don't listen to his new stuff because that really doesn't do anything for me. But I'm talking about like, the retro stuff because like when I work out, I like listening to Don't Let Me Down or something. I forgot what album that's on actually though. But anyway, like I don't want to. That's my workout song. Like, that is my workout song. So, like, him, Jay-Z on it. He's killing it. Like, they killing it, man. They killing it. Now, I can't listen to it. I feel a particular way about it. But then, at the same time, I get over it because the song was so like that. So, tweet me real quick if you're listening to the show. Like, should I stop listening to Kanye West retro stuff? Not, like, the new stuff, right? Because it's going to probably be, like, a whole different social issue type thing. I'm talking about the new Kanye West. I mean the old Kanye West stuff. Like, so tweet me, hit me up on Facebook, let me know if I'm allowed to still bump Kanye Yeezy if I'm working out. All right, let me get back to the topic at hand. The NFL draft. Who are some of the winners and losers of the draft? To me, I would like to say, first off, I thought the Atlanta Falcons, not talking, this is non-Reds, because I think the Atlanta Falcons pretty much killed in the NFL draft. And I don't even care about who else they had after the first round. I just like that they got Calvin Ridley out of Alabama, a kid to me that is going to be a godsend for them. He can play the slot. He can play outside. He's a guy that can do it all, runs great routes. If you watch him in Alabama, you know that he's highly skilled. And it's funny because, you know, you can't really tell how good of a wide receiver really is because of the issue they had at quarterback play. But now he's going to play with Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, another guy who went to Alabama. I think that situation, if you look at it, to me, is a winning situation. Like, I think that, like, I favor that situation other than anything. I believe we have Fred Smoolin. What's going on, Fred?
Hey, what's going on, brother? Sorry for the late call, man. I was cooking dinner.
Hey, no problem, man. No problem. So I want to talk. I'm going to get right into it then because I was already talking about the Redskins draft. First off, what did you think about the Skins draft?
I can hear you. What you say?
First off, what did you think about the Skins draft?
Actually, I thought it was one of the best drafts they had in the last decade. I think they, you know, I don't usually like one of those teams that try to always go for need, but they went strictly for need and got, and I think they hit in every position.
Uh-huh.
And I'm even very excited about some of the free agents from college. Sammy Collins Jr. is a guy that I'm really looking forward to see play. 6'4", 6'5", guy can really be a red zone threat. The run of pain, a.k.a. the house of pain in the middle. I'm always with that boy. We stole one in the second round with guys. You talking about, a lot of people don't know about Sean Dion Hamilton. He was actually supposed to be the star in Alabama.
Totally agree.
But he actually kept getting injured. So I'm talking about the list goes on and on with these guys.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned Hamilton because it's funny because in the draft, like, when Tremaine Edmonds has slipped to third, well, there's an opportunity to get Tremaine Edmonds. That was the guy I wanted, right? And I thought if they didn't get him, I thought, you know, I wanted Payne too at the same time. I was thinking that, okay, if you wanted Payne, you can trade back. But after the fact, like when the draft went played its part and when they got Hamilton, I was like, okay, this works. Because to me, he is a guy that is a high ceiling on him. Like if he's healthy, he could be a dog.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If that's what you want, especially when you're drafting in the six, seven rounds. Hey, from the fourth down, I'm trying to take chances. I'm trying to keep guys with high upside.
Mm-hmm.
And if it pans out, we win. And if we lose, hey, it's a fifth round or somewhat. So at the end of the day, I thought they really played it close to the vest, and I think they really made the picks.
Okay, you talked about Geist. Obviously, that was a steal. I thought it was a steal of the draft. Can you talk about what you think he's going to bring to the Washington Redskins?
Man, a three down back. See, that's what we're missing right now. Feature back. You know, the thing about Chris is explosive. When I say Chris, I mean Chris Thompson is very explosive. He catch out the backfield, but we saw last year his body can only take so much. So he ain't a guy that you can just ride like a bell cow. You find your P Ryan, he's a guy that can run through the A and the B gap, but he, you know, you can't really run wide with him. Hasn't proven to be a good catcher, so it takes him out on third down. Geist is one of those guys. Have him on the field first through third down. We need to see where he at when it comes to players blocking and understanding the scheme. But thanks to having a veteran like Alex Smith, that shit goes smoothly.
Mm.
So I just think when you look at guys, we got a first round talent in the second round, and he's the guy we can feature.
Are you listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now? We have Fred Smoon online. So, you know, all the talk about Bruce Allen, this regime and whatnot, do you think that this draft has settled the noise?
Do I think it's who was in that one?
So, I mean, since, you know, all the talk about Bruce Allen and this regime before this draft, right? You think this draft has settled the noise? Like, all right, now, all right, this team is in good shape.
Well, I think a lot of people think Doug had a lot more to do with the picking of the players anyway.
True.
And you can't fault them for thinking that. You got to realize Bruce Allen did win with Coach Gruden's brother in Tampa. So I know where all this comes from.
Yeah.
So, John is trying to get the old band back together. So I'm sure something was said, and then, you know, especially after 3 weeks ago when Dan kind of lit a fire on Allen, you know, kind of giving them some warning shots. So, yeah, I think both sides just played it through the media like they wanted to.
Cool. All right, so, I mean, I know you've probably seen this topic came up just recently, and I feel a particular way about it. So AJ Francis just leaves the team, right? He just leaves the team. He's cut, released, put it that way. And now, do you have any thoughts about
that? Yeah, he didn't have a problem with the name when he was putting dead men in his pocket.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have a problem going out there representing that name. He didn't have a problem saying on his Instagram and his Facebook and everything else that I played for the Washington Redskins.
Exactly.
He didn't have a problem with it then. So, no, it's just like a scorned girlfriend, an ex-girlfriend. She always want to say something when she leave and pardon and try to hurt your feelings. No, brother, we'll see you in the game stuff. You know how things go.
And it's funny, like, nobody was giving on this. Now, I'm going to be real. Nobody was giving you any playing time other than this team. And then all of a sudden, they release you, and now you have something to say. I think that's hilarious.
But, hey, like my mom and grandma told me years ago, don't ever burn bridges, man.
Exactly.
I was one of those guys. I end up leaving as a free agent going to Minnesota. I came right back here. So why would you want to strike a team off the list? There's only 32 teams in the league. Now for you, it's only 30 because the team that you're on right now, if they cut you, they're off your list too.
That ain't that the truth. Hey, Fred, man, thank you for calling in, man. We appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
And Anytime, brothers. Anytime. All right, man. Thank y'all for having me on.
No problem. Stay blessed, my man. Again, man, that is Shutdown Cornerback, man. Fred Smoot came on. Appreciate it, man. Great dude, man. Great dude. Appreciate it for being on the show. But it's time for a break. Let me get back from break. We're going to talk about some Washington Wizards. We're going to have my man Troy Halliburton from Truth About It to talk about the Washington Wizards and John Wall's comments. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
I got immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new weapon? I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit 'cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again like Wimbledon, I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound. Engine in this like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See, my pedigree most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you. This is Barla's oldest son. I know murder. Conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA. Born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've done so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert. And excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the f*** you heard? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff from the bleeding skin. The reason my power was here. Salute the truth and the prophecy.
This is why I say that hip hop has done more damage to young African Americans than racism in recent years.
I live a better life. This is my heritage. All I'm inheriting. Money and power. The Mecca Emeritus. Tell me something. You motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This how it is when you in the matrix. Dodging bullets, reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the footage, living on the going. Sleeping in the pillar, sipping from a Grammy. Walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling. Marble on the floor, beaches out the window. Peeking out the window, baby in the pool. Godfather goes, only Lord knows. I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi. Freaking through the cameras, eat it for a daughter's Brock. Wearing sandals, yoga on a Monday. Stretching to the fan, watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes. Phone never on, I don't camera stand, I don't compromise. I just penetrate, sex, money, murder. These are the breaks, these are the times. Level number 9, look up in the sky. Tennis on the way, tennis on the way. Tennis on the way, motherfucker, I got winners on the way. You ain't without a buddy on your belt. You ain't without a ticket on your plate. You ain't sick enough to put it on yourself. You ain't rich enough to hit the light of skate. Gonna be a fake.
Oh yeah, that's like Kendrick Lamar, man. So I was talking about Kanye. It's Kendrick, man. Kendrick Lamar's the word. He's the truth, though. So I would buy his album, though. Like, I would. I would buy it 24/7. Kendrick Lamar, his album rocks, though. So. Kendrick Lamar is, like, it's a great artist. Real talk. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Again, like I mentioned, Will T and Ray are out. Make sure, hey, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Leave us a comment. We will appreciate it. And leave some feedback. Feedback's very important. Some feedback. Like, I want, like, 5 stars, though. 5 stars, a couple comments saying, Wally, you're great. Ray, you're great. Will T, you're great. You guys are amazing. Like, freaking amazing. Like, that would kind of work. That would work. That would work a lot. Like, a lot. And also, again, make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast. I know I keep saying it, but those guys are really good at www.footballgarbagetime.com. So, check them out. Consistently check them out. Waiting my man Troy Halliburton to call in. Supposed to talk about the Washington Wizards. Everybody's running late today. What's going on? They leave me hanging. That's messed up, man. We're supposed to be unified today, man. Unified. Let's not leave Wally hanging. Like, I'm here waiting. I'm talking to the people, though, because I like you all. But I'm waiting. But I'll start it off. The Washington Wizards were eliminated last Friday What went wrong for the Washington Wizards? You saw so much ISO basketball, man. I can't stand when John Wall and Bradley Beal take over, like pretty much take over the whole game in terms of they're the only individuals that they can run offense for. You got a guy in Otto Porter who before Friday, he missed the game Friday because he was fighting injury. Before the Friday's game, you got a guy in Porter who pretty much was a guy that shoots from a high percentage. He's a good mid-range shooter, good three-point shooter, and he takes about like barely 10 or 12 shots. The guy should be taking about 15 plus. You know what I mean? He should be averaging 18, 19 points. If you run sets for an Otto Porter, he can average that amount of points, but you don't. All you do is like John, Bradley, let's run plays for you two. And I just felt like when the Wizards play that style of basketball, it never works out. And then you look at what they have in terms of their bigs and Gortat and Mahimi, guys who are offensively gifted. I mean, Gortat more than Mahimi. I think Gortat's more gifted offensively than Mahimi. But Gortat isn't the same guy you saw in Orlando, the same guy you saw for the Phoenix Suns. He's a guy that pretty much is predicated on what John Wall John Wall does with the pick and roll. If you've watched, or anybody in the pick and roll, if you watched Gortat back in the day, he was a guy who would play in the post, give you a left hand jump hook, play more physical. To me, he's kind of been more finessed as a big. And he's not the same John Wall we've seen in the past. Gortat that we've seen in the past. Then you look at Mahimi. He's a guy who's always been a defensive player. But even with the Washington Wizards, how great of a defensive player has he truly been? Is he like the Kembe Mutombo? No, he's not. Is he a strong individual? Yeah, he's strong. He holds his own in his position, but he can't check today's bigs because today's bigs are more athletic and can shoot the three ball and can bring some offense to the table. Oh, I think my man Troy is finally on. Hey, this is my man Troy. What's going on, Troy? You're on with the Urban Sports Team, Troy. You're on. You're live.
What's going on, Wally? How you doing today,
man? I'm good, man. I'm good. So I was already talking about what went wrong for the Washington Wizards in that Toronto Raptors series. Do you want to give your thoughts about what went wrong?
I mean, honestly, the Wizards were outplayed or outmatched from the beginning, purely based on personnel. You know, I think that, Toronto has proven over time that, they're switching their offensive style of play and adding in their bench players and taking more three-point shots. I think that, they proved that they had a better system, better overall coaching staff, better overall front office management. And, that kind of put the Wizards, in the eight ball, before the series even started. And, honestly, I think that John Wall, yes, he did. He played a phenomenal series in terms of scoring the basketball and creating for others.
Uh-huh.
But, it was just he simply didn't take over the game like you would want your NBA superstar to be able to take over games.
Oh, so you meant, no, go ahead. No, continue. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, I was going to say, I think that, Wall didn't really take over like he was supposed to. And compound that with the fact that, they didn't really get the ancillary help that they needed. Bill really only played well two of the six games out of the whole series. Otto Porter missed the deciding game six at home, which was, that was a crushing blow to hear, just 3 hours before tip-off that Otto Porter wasn't going to play.
Yeah, I know.
So I think that, the Wizards, what Marquise Morris said after the series, he said, he felt that the Wizards were just as talented as Toronto. And he might be right. Because from a top-heavy perspective, when you consider the two All-Stars, Wall and Bill, I think they outplayed DeRozan and Lowry in that series.
They did.
But it was the ancillary pieces that kind of made the difference and pushed the Raptors over the top.
Well, I can arguably say that like DeRozan outplayed Bill because he was more consistent. DeRozan brought his game home and on the road. Bill just brought his game at home, which is just seemed like he just played well at home. And I agree with you. You look at all the other pieces, like the bench players. You have Wright continue to hit threes and play at a high level. You had with Siakam. Guys, the athletic individuals are like at the guy from the kid from Indiana. His name is missing. I'm missing his name right now.
Van Vliet.
Not Van Fleet. Not Van.
OG Anunoby.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Consistently hitting threes. So it was just like they. That was a difficult. They were deeper. Like Toronto was deeper than I thought. So speaking on what John Wall talked about, he talked about the roster. John Wall said, and I quote, "If I'm doing my part, the other 14 guys have to do their part of getting better every year. Just being true to the team. I think probably we have a lot of times guys don't understand their role and respect their role." Did you agree with his comments?
I do agree with his comments because I think that let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that those comments, you know, are probably directed towards Marcin Gortat.
Mm-hmm.
And with Marcin Gortat, I think that he is having a hard time. You know, it's a harsh reality for him that the NBA that he has come to know and love is changing.
Yeah.
And that with the changes, it's kind of pushing his, you know, position kind of out of the league. So there's not really a room for, you know, a post-up center who can't really create on the outside.
Yeah.
And then also can't defend on the outside. So I think it's a twofold thing. So he's talking about, you know, some players not understanding their role. You know, Marcin Gortat, let's just look at last season. Last season, the Wizards, they used to start every game with Marcin Gortat post-up to kind of get him in the groove. You know, they no longer do that because, you know, the NBA realizes that, you know, that posting big men up anymore is kind of a futile attempt, and it's not really worth as many points as, you know, trying to work your offense around and getting better drives to the basket or open three-point shots. So, you know, when he's talking about players who are not accepting of their role, I think that, you know, we have to start with Gortat.
Uh-huh.
Then I think that after that, I think we would have to look at, you know, kind of Otto Porter not really stepping into the role that everybody assumes that he's going to step into.
Uh-huh.
You know, he got paid a max contract money in the offseason, and, you know, he's supposed to be there to alleviate some of the stress and some of the playmaking ability off of Wall and Bill. And, you know, I understand that he probably was hurt for mm-hmm. the majority of the series.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, really, over the course of the season, he didn't really demonstrate, you know, that ability to be able to, you know, be that third option, to be that true third option for a championship-level team.
But wouldn't you say I have another thought process in terms of who else he was talking about, but wouldn't you say for Otto Porter, I agree, like, he sometimes, Otto is just not aggressive enough, and we both can agree that he's not aggressive enough, but wouldn't you say that's on the coaching staff too at the same time, when you have two guys that you funnel ISO plays for, and Bradley Beal and John Wall, when they're together, like, let's put that, when they're together, right, you funnel ISO plays, pick and roll, high screen and rolls all the time, like that's the basics or the genesis of your offense, when those two guys are on the same court, on the court together, it's not like this free flowing, you know, Golden State Warriors type of offense. We don't see that all, you know, we don't see that when those guys are on the court together. When you say that, like, that's Scott Brooks' job to kind of create some plays for Otto, because you see it on the flip side, you see it in Golden State with Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson isn't the best ball handler in the world. He's not the best ball handler in the world, but you see offense being funneled to Klay off screens, double screens. You see offense funneled to Klay, but they don't do that with Otto.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that, you know, Klay is definitely not the best ball handler in the world, but the difference between Klay Thompson and Otto Porter is that Klay is very much decisive with his actions.
Agreed.
On the court.
Agreed.
He's always going to make sure that he puts himself in a position that he can get the ball. He, you know, if he's on the perimeter, he's going to run as hard as he can off those screens, running those sloppy plays, and, you know, he's going to be able to knock down the open shots when the ball is kicked to him. You know, Otto Porter, you know, yes, he's a great cutter, and he's a great, kind of just role player and fitting in and roaming on the
mm-hmm.
court. But sometimes they need for him to be aggressive and, you know, coming off those screens hard, attacking, getting the ball, trying to make stuff happen for himself and others. You know, I think that that's a part of his game that he's kind of lacking right now. And, like, I don't want this to turn into, you know, an Otto Porter bashing
session. Oh, no, you're being real. You're being real.
Yeah, no, I have been an Otto Porter apologist. I didn't have a problem with them giving him his contract last year,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have a problem with it now after the way he performed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would have wanted more from him, but when you look at it from a pure analytical standpoint,
mm-hmm.
what he's giving you, when you're averaging, you know, close to 15 points a game, and you're shooting 40% from three and 50% from the field,
yeah.
You know, that is, you are worth the money. And lots of NBA teams would pay to have a player as productive as him. I think the Wizards need to do a better job of making sure to keep him involved in the offense throughout the game.
No, I'm with you. I'm like you. I've been deemed an Otto Porter, I guess an Otto Porter fan and whatnot. But to me, I'm with you. It's like you have to – it's both, right? Otto has to be aggressive. He has to be confident in what he does offensively. On the flip side, the coaching staff needs to get him involved. So I totally agree. So I also thought that John Wall could have been talking about Oubre a little bit, about understanding your role, because you saw at times Oubre – in situations where you thought the ball should be funneled back to Waller, Bill was taking some ill-advised shots down the stretch.
Right. So the only reason why I would say that I don't believe that Wall was talking about Oubre is because throughout Oubre's tenure in D.C., Wall has stated many times to media members that he considers Kelly Oubre to be the X factor for the Wizards.
Got you.
So he's not, I don't think he has a good relationship with Kelly. He's mentioned many times that, you know, he's looking for Oubre to make plays and to come out here and kind of do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that he's talking about Oubre when he says, oh, you know, the guys that don't understand their role. If anything, he wants more from Oubre. You know, they want Oubre to be the guy who, you know, is that third option, you know, in a sense, you know, kind of maybe even surpassing Otto Porter. In their minds, because Oubre is everything that Otto isn't. Whereas Otto is, you know, a benchmark of consistency. Oubre, you know, he's as up and down as it comes. But one thing I know for sure is that when he steps on the basketball court, that he's going to be attacking. He's going to be trying to make things happen.
No, I agree with you. I kind of wish them those two could kind of meld together, because what one lacks, the other one has, and vice versa. When you look at Oubre, look at Porter, right? If Porter had Oubre's aggressiveness, Porter would average about 19, 20 points. On the flip side, if Oubre played with Otto's basketball IQ, he would be a dominant ball player.
Right, and I agree with that completely. And I think that there are things that each of them can learn from each other.
Agreed.
And I think that the best thing for Wizards fans out there who are, you know, in dire straits right now because, you know, they're looking at the team's cap space and wondering how they're going to improve. Well, I mean, the first thing that the team needs to have improvement from within. So you need to be developing the players that you have, because Otto Porter isn't the player that he can be, and Oubre is probably nowhere near the player that he can be.
Agreed.
So I think that, you know, these are great options that they have going forward, that where you can still have in-house talent development.
So do you have any issues with Wall's leadership skills?
Let's see. All right, so that's kind of a loaded question at this point. I'm going to answer it honestly. Mm-hmm. So I do think that Wall is a good leader, but I think that there is, as I talk about Oubre's skills and Porter's skills, I think there is room for improvement within Wall's leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that one of the ways that Wall can improve as a leader is by being a person who leads more by example than more by, you know, kind of talking in the media.
You've heard.
And I think that Wall, you know, he's gotten to the point where he knows that he's a superstar player. And, you know, as media members, we appreciate him for being, you know, as blunt and open as he is. But, you know, yes, that's good for us and for our quotes and for us being able to write. But in the grand scheme of things, it's probably not that great for, you know, trying to encourage his teammates as a leader.
No, I agree. I what I respect about Wall, to use a, you know, lack of a better term, he keeps it 100, right? He really does.
He keeps it 100.
Yeah,
that's
you got to, like,
every time.
Yeah, so you got to respect it. Like, that's what you got to respect. But you know, like, in terms of, because you got like, what, 12, 14 other individuals in that locker room, and you know that, all right, if you say this, somebody's going to feel salty because you're saying it in public, right? They're going to be salty.
Right.
So if you say it,
that's the thing. Wall will say whatever it is in public. He doesn't have a problem with pulling any punches or calling people out. And, you know, like I said, like, maybe that's we love it as media members because it gives us plenty of, you know, fodder to write about.
Sure,
but as far as, you know, him gaining the trust of his teammates inside the locker room, you know, that may not be the best course of action. And I think that, you know, it also starts with his leadership, not only criticizing his teammates, but, like, kind of the trash talk that he puts out there as far as like the competition level with other teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or Cleveland tried to duck us last
year.
Or, you know, we should have beat this team, or we're better than that team, or I'm going to destroy Lonzo Ball, and then you don't do it. And then, you know, it's what he's exhibiting right now is a pattern of behavior as somebody who's talking and not backing it up.
Yeah, that's
that's kind of not a good thing to be in, like, as a player, mm-hmm. as a leader. So, you know, I think that, you know, like I said, he has room to grow. His trash talking ability is kind of just like his pace of play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came in the league, he's full gun ho. But, you know, eventually you're going to have to learn how to change pace and slow it down. So with this trash talk, yeah, we want a superstar who's aggressive, who believes in himself, who knows that, you know, he's the best player on the court when he steps on the floor. But at the same time, we also need somebody who's able to change pace and know not to give other teams, you know, bulletin board material or get them riled up or, you know, arguing with Drake on the sidelines or, you know, even disparaging your own teammates.
Yeah, I totally agree. So you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have Troy Halliburton from Truth About It. So Troy, before I let you go, can you let our listeners know about Truth About It and your activity on social media?
Yeah, so Truth About It is the ESPN True Hoop. They just canceled the ESPN True Hoop. Basically, their partnership. But Truth About It was one of the first original DC sports writing blogs. And, you know, we're known for our hot takes and kind of riling up the fan base. And I think that, you know, that's kind of something that's very much needed within the Wizards sports community or the DC sports community. So, you know, the site is running as strong as ever. And I've just been writing for them for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle Weedye is the founder of the site, and like I said, he's they just had a Wizards article written in Deadspin a couple of weeks ago where they talked about they were reminiscing over the Gilbert Arenas year.
Oh yeah,
and,
great years.
And in that article, you know, they mentioned you know, Truth About It. And you know, everything that was around the same time that Dan Steinberg really started going the DC sports blog with mm-hmm. the Washington Post. And, you know, that was like kind of the first generation of, you know, sports bloggers, really. And
wow.
In like, you know, 2008, 2009. So, you know, there's a lot of history there, you know, as far as, you know, sports blogging and, you know, where DC stands in that measure. Because, you know, people remember the Gilbert Arenas days when he started, you know, his own blog, and he was on the internet, and he was really kind of like one of the first athletes to start embracing social media and having that communication, you know, with the bloggers, with the fans, with everybody. And so, you know, I'm just a part of the next generation of people who are, you know, trying to continue that trend and pushing sports media forward.
Well, Troy, man, thanks for being on, man. You know, I appreciate you. I'm going to still try to have you on during the NBA playoffs. We can talk about some other teams other than the Wizards.
I'll be out in Vegas for NBA Summer League.
Oh, snap. Okay. Awesome. Are you watching LeBron right now? Seeing the damage LeBron's doing right now?
I am watching the damage. I'm flipping back and forth between the damage that LeBron's doing and the Caps.
I'm watching both, too.
I got to keep it DC.
Me too. I'm with you. I'm doing both myself. I'm struggling right here. I'm doing both myself. But anyway, Troy, thanks again, man.
No problem, Wally, man. I appreciate you for having me on, man. And, like I said, I hope to continue these chats throughout, man. We didn't even get to mention Ernie Grunfeld's
contract. Oh, I know. You know what? We're going to do that next week. Bet that. Let's do that next week. Let's do that next week, all right?
All right. That's for another pod.
Right, exactly. Man. You know it.
Appreciate you.
All right. No problem, man.
Yeah.
All right, but that's my man Troy Halliburton from Truth About It. Great guy, knows his stuff. He knows all of his stuff, man. He's an intelligent individual. You know, I wouldn't hang with intelligent folks. But anyway, It's time to get to break. I'm gonna have my man Frank. I'm having my man Ed Frankovic from WNST. He is the Caps insider. He's going to talk about the Washington Capitals. Right now, the Caps are down to the Penguins 1-0 in the second period. The Pens just scored the goal. Anyway, you listen to Urban Sports Saying for ages. You dig? Deuces. Percocet, 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 Molly Percocet, Percocet. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have Ed Frankovic from WNST's. He is the Capitals insider for that great sports network. What's going on, Ed?
Hey guys, how are you?
We're fine.
Right here in Game 4.
Game 4. Caps right now are down 1-0. They're up in the series 2-1. It's in the second period. So there's time. All right, there's time. Murray has given up enough goals in this series. We've seen how shaky he's been. Ovi has been amazing, and Ovi has had a goal in every game. Has he had a goal in every game but one?
I think he scored every game this year. I think you're right.
All right, every game.
He's got 8 goals in 9 games in the playoffs.
Exactly. So, it's still Ovi time. That's how I look at it. It's still Ovi time. So, the Caps, but let's get to, the controversy, the stuff that we were talking about on Twitter first. Caps forward Tom Wilson was suspended 3 games for his hit on Zach and Anston Reese. Your thoughts on that and why? Why?
I thought it was a horrible, horrible suspension. Especially 3 games, maybe 1. I didn't think. I thought it was a clean hit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the league totally got it wrong. I don't know what George Parros is looking at. I do know that the Pittsburgh Penguins are notorious whiners,
uh-huh.
And Mario Lemieux and
Crosby
and Mike Sullivan and that whole organization is constantly complaining to the referees. I mean, John Tortorella has called them out in the past, mm-hmm. as the biggest whiners in the league. It was a clean hit. You look at TSN Bob McKenzie, one of the guys who's been covering this league for 40, 50 years. He said it was a clean hit. The referees, after the game, re-looked at the play. The supervisor of official, Paul Dvorsky, they all said clean hit, shouldn't have been a penalty. Yet, because Pittsburgh complained and whined, and Mike Sullivan said their player had a broken jaw, they come up with a video, and I thought the video was trumped up,
mm-hmm.
and said basically that that he launched into him, which at the beginning of the hit, his skates were on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Then they tried to come up with this. He hit him with the left side when he should have hit him with the right.
Yeah.
And if you watch the hit, if he hits him with the right, he probably knocks him into the boards and it's boarding. So he purposely uses his left shoulder to keep him away from the board. So I just felt like the fix was in there. And to give 3 games to Tom Wilson, who was in the Pittsburgh Penguins' head, no doubt about it, is just a big gift to the Penguins.
I guess that's my thing. If you want to say because you didn't suspend him for the prior hit, which again that was to me was illegal anyway. I felt like he couldn't avoid that was a play that he couldn't avoid, right? The first
because Ovi's coming and Dumoulin throws his head back.
Exactly.
Wilson.
And then you look at the second, obviously the second play and whatnot. So now I can get you you want to make him pay. That's your argument, right? To give him 1 game. I can give you that, right? 3 games is excessive. It was overly excessive. It's as if that was the dirt that play was with intent. There was no intent in that play. Like you would think that.
No, he was just going to hit him.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to make an open body hit, mm-hmm. and like I said, he purposely is trying to take the guy away from the boards because he knows if he hits him and he goes into the boards, he's probably going to get a boarding, at least 2, probably a 5 mm-hmm. in a game and a suspension.
Exactly.
So, I just really had issue with that video that the league made, the director of player safety after the hit. It just felt like it was contrived. Mm-hmm. It felt like it was just totally caving into Mario Lemieux and the Pittsburgh Penguins complaining. And shame on Gary Bettman for the organizations he's running, especially when you have a lot of hockey people saying that was a clean hit.
Exactly.
And should not be suspended.
Exactly. So, all right, so let's go to some of the positives. The Caps are up 2-1. This Penguins team was favorite. And to me, this Caps team, is truth be told, has outplayed the Penguins team, even in the game they lost. They've outplayed the Penguins. What has stood out in this series to you?
Well, I think the Capitals, it starts with goaltending. I think that's been the key for them, is Holtby's been good in net. And I think the other thing is, Murray has had, they found kind of a weakness on Matt Murray, his glove hand, and they have to just keep going there and shooting there. I think the one thing the Capitals do have to be leery of is making sure they stay back and don't give the Penguins rush goals. And the first goal tonight, of course, was a rush goal.
Uh-huh.
The Capitals have to really watch the Penguins rush because that's where they like the score is,
uh-huh.
is going off the rush and getting you confused and going with bodies to the net. And Evgeny Kuznetsov really gets out of position on defense, gets 4 guys behind him on the goal, and he's just lazy coming back, and he does not cover the slot. I mean, that's his job to cover the slot. You see that Matt Niskanen, Smith Pelly did lose his stick there, so mm-hmm. he couldn't get back in the play, and he had to give his stick to Niskanen. So
yeah.
A couple of fortunate bounces for the Penguins. The Capitals just have to go and find some bounces themselves. I like the way they're playing.
Yeah.
But they really are missing Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson is a physical factor, a great penalty killer. He was in the Pittsburgh Penguins' heads, and it's a shame that the league caved into their whining. There's just no two ways about it.
Can you tell me about the young kid who was just called up to play in this game?
Yeah, so Nate Gerchich, he came in. He played hockey in, I think it was North Dakota.
Yeah.
And he was there in college, and they signed him, and he came up and he played at the end of the year. He's a small guy, but he's got a lot of speed, a lot of effort. Travis Boyd was who I thought would go in, but Boyd battled some illness at the end of the year, and I don't know that he's right yet. So Gerchich, since they're playing the Penguins as a fast team, he came in, and they've had to bump Smith-Pelly up to the top line, and I like the way Smith-Pelly's played these playoffs, but he's not a top six player, but he's going to have to do it with the Wilson suspension.
Yes, of course.
So the advantage is heavily, heavily to the Penguins. It really is ridiculous, guys. You finally get up on them, and they just complain and they get the calls. Nick Backstrom, I can't go without talking about Nicky. Uh-huh. Nicky has been dynamite in these playoffs.
He has
been dominant. Games 2 and 3, I thought he was the best player on the ice on both teams. Ovi got the goals, but if you watch the way the plays are made, it is a great Nick Backstrom.
So, I'm going to go back to what you were talking about with the whole Tom Wilson thing. So do you feel like the Pens just have like this type of thing, this favoritism, that like they have favoritism towards the Pens, obviously, because Crosby and Crosby and this team has won a couple of championships. You feel like the refs and even the NHL has some type of favoritism or love for the Pens?
Oh, they definitely do. And if you watch the games on NBC, I mean, Pierre Maguire is the analyst. He used to coach for Pittsburgh.
I remember.
He might as well be standing there with the Penguins jersey on. And Mario Lemieux has been Mario Lemieux. I mean, back when I worked for the team, the Caps in the early 90s, Mario would always be complaining at the referees. And he got the ownership, and he was Crosby saved the franchise, and Mario saved the franchise, and they're always in the commissioner's ear. And I really feel like Gary Bettman is intimidated by Mario Lemieux, and I think that's why they get things going their way.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have WNST's Caps Insider Ed Frankovic on the line. So Ed, let's speak on Hopi. You mentioned him earlier. Why is he playing at such a high level? Like, why is this going on?
Well, I think he's dialed in. This is 2012 Hopi like I wanted in the postseason, and I just Braden made some. I think he feels more confident in the guys in front of him. I think that's when he got in some bad habits and had those struggles when they had those rookies on defense. With Kempney and some other guys. With Juzin now, it was Jarabic, but with those guys in the lineup now, I feel like the Hopi has a lot more confidence in his defense. And when you're confident in your defense, you're not trying to make overplay their mistakes. And I think that's where Braden got into some bad habits. Mm-hmm. And he's out of those, and he is playing some hockey now. So Holtby's certainly been the key. Goaltending is always the key in the playoffs.
Yeah, totally.
And the Capitals just have to find a way to keep getting pucks on Murray and making him pay. And he took a shot up in the shoulder early here in game 4. So they have to really – they need to get that goal. Once they get one on him, then he tends to open up and give a bunch. So they just got to get that first one on him. And that'll do it.
And
there
it
is. DJ Oshie just scored on the power play as we're talking. It's a tie game.
Over
that glove again, guys. So that's what they got to keep doing.
There you go. To me, they're just a better team. To be honest with you, I just feel like they're the better team right now. They're the hotter team, the more confident team. All right, so Ovechkin in the past has had some suspect postseason series, but this postseason he's been playing such a high level, including being clutch on Tuesday. Are you seeing anything different about Ovi in this playoffs compared to the past?
Yes, he is in much better physical condition. He got himself. He set the whole tone for his season last summer when he went and he changed his entire training routine. He took out the heavy power to his training routine and focused more on cardio and more on conditioning and speed. And Ovi is a faster player. He's in better condition now. He's not, he wasn't carrying an extra 20, 25 pounds all season, which usually led to his groin being wonky in the playoffs. He is healthy. That is the biggest reason. He's in hockey shape, and he is very motivated, too. Last season, he took that hit. He was out of shape all season, took that hit from Kadri in the first round, and then blew his hamstring out in Game 4 of the Penguin Series, and he just was never really the man last year. This year, he's in great shape, and he is playing some hockey. And it's that speed and that skating that I think has been the difference for him, and that's why he has 8 goals in 9 games.
So why, other than Ovi, why has this team been different in this postseason compared to prior postseason Caps teams? I feel like they're a little different.
Yeah, I think they're playing more as a team. I think they've got more experience. Okay. Guys like Brett Connolly's having a way better playoffs. He was a rookie in the playoffs last year, really didn't know what was going on. Dmitry Orlov, his first real playoffs was 2016 against the Flyers and the Penguins, and he really struggled. He got run in the Flyers series, so he's got 3 years now. This is Kuznetsov, fourth year in the playoffs, so he's matured a lot. And this team's tight. This team is very tight. When we had Barry Trotz out a WNSD event in March, he told me that last season he'd ask certain guys to play with certain guys, and he'd get pushback from the players. He said this year that hasn't been the case at all. He'd ask guys to go here, and they just stepped up and do it. So I really feel like they're a more cohesive team this year. They've lost some talent, but they seem to be a tighter team.
So Ed, I totally agree. So Ed, before I let you go, how can our listeners check out your content and catch you on social media?
So WNST.net is where my blogs are and where we post my WNST radio sessions, and at Ed Frankovic on Twitter. So look for me there, and I really appreciate you guys having me on, and also tweet me and tweet, and I hope people go out and listen to this podcast.
Yeah, also Ovi almost had a goal. I'm sorry, I almost got excited. Ovi almost had a goal.
Yeah, he almost did it right
in. You know, Ed, like I think this.
I'm happy you guys are watching, and I just get nets off with another weak play there.
Yeah, so.
That explains that. But that's all, guys, I really think is the key to the series.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm going to get out of Nick Backstrom every shift.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm going to get out of Lars Eller every shift. What we need is Kuznetsov to be consistent and play in both ways.
Yeah,
Can do that, then the Capitals have a very good chance.
I think they have a good chance.
But the Tom Wilson thing was definitely a major blow.
Yeah, I totally agree. But, hey, man, thanks again. This has been good luck, so I'm going to keep having you because every time I have you, I feel like the Caps win. So I'm going to keep having you.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys having me on, and they tie it up since we've been on, and let's see if they can go get that win. And maybe let's talk Tuesday or whenever the next show is, my friend.
I would definitely will. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate you.
Anytime, Wally. Take care, guys.
I'll take care. All right. Again, that is Ed Frankovic from WNST. He's the Caps insider for WNST.net. Caps have a good opportunity to win this series. They can go 3-1 if they win this series, and they win it. They would go up 3-1. This series is a wrap. I believe it. I'm claiming it. Like my mom told me, I'm claiming it. But thanks anyway, you all, for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I was holding it down by myself. I'm going to miss my fellas. My fellas should be back next week. Will T should be back from Turf Toe. Ray G should be back. And it's gonna be the whole team, the whole mob. You know what I mean? The three man weave we used to call ourselves. But anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.